think out-of-body travel is not real. This is Dr. Herbert O. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. We think that out-of-body travel is not really very real. Out-of-body travel is perhaps one of the most things that is done by everyone throughout the world. Out-of-body travel is what we do when we have a thought that takes us anywhere at all. As you listen to stories, as you listen to adventures of other people, you get so involved in those adventures that you have taken an out-of-body journey with them to their experience, and you experience it. And as you experience it, you think to yourself, gee, that's interesting. That's very fascinating. Now, try an experiment. When someone takes you on an out-of-body journey, and I don't mean that they take you specifically on an out-of-body journey, but when someone tells you a story, and you become so interested in the story that you are sort of living the story. Well, as you live the story extra. Live the story up and beyond what the storyteller is telling. As you read a book, you have your mental attitude, and your mental attitude takes you into the realm of the book. You go into the realm of the book where they say, all right, we're going to take the family on a picnic, and we're going to go out into the woods. So come on, kids, pick up your things, and let's all go, okay, Dad. Come on, kids, help me bring the baskets of food. All right, Mom. And then Peter was very interested, and Peter says, Mom, can I carry the ice cream? Peter, can you leave the cover closed on the cooler? Because the ice cream's in the cooler, and if we open it, then it'll start melting too soon. Oh, you know I can do that, Mom. Now you can just imagine Peter being a little petulant as his mother is telling him to leave the cover on the cooler, meaning don't go digging into the ice cream ahead of time. Well, and you can just see Peter carrying the cooler, not a big one, but just big enough for the ice cream, and carrying it and being so eager to peek inside, so eager to take his spoon and dip into that ice cream and eat some of that ice cream that he loves so dearly. You can just visualize him. And then you look over at Peter and you see Peter looking everywhere except at the container that he's carrying. He's looking around, trying to keep his eyes off of it because he is so tempted. And little sister comes up to Peter and says, Peter, can I have a peek in the ice cream? And Peter says, oh, sure, you can. And so he opens it and she looks in. And, oh, Peter, there's a spoon in there. Can I have a dip of the ice cream? Well, of course, sister, you can have a spoon of it. And so she dips in there and takes some ice cream out and says, ooh, that's so good. Puts the spoon back, all licked clean, and then the cover is on the ice cream. Well, they come to the picnic, and as you might guess, everybody's going to think that Peter is the one who dipped into the ice cream. And Peter is the one who dipped into the ice cream, because he didn't say to his little sister, sweetheart, I'm not allowed to dip in the ice cream. Nobody's allowed to dip in the ice cream, so we got to leave it closed so it's all fresh for everybody. And when everybody can have it, that's so nice. Well, Peter's learning a lesson for himself. And you can just look at him, and you can just see him so pontifical as he's talking to his younger sister, telling her the facts of life. Now, you're making an out-of-body journey doing that. You don't know what Peter looks like, but you're making a person out of him. And the more personal you make him to be, the better. Now, the book writer had not authored any idea of what Peter looked like, except that he was maybe about 7 years old. And so you just see Peter as a seven-year-old would be in your mind. Now, have you had good seven-year-olds in your mind, or have you had poor seven-year-olds in your mind? It all depends on what you have in your thought. And if you think, well, now, Peter is the best. He's a fine boy. He's a good boy. He's a happy boy. He's a thoughtful boy. He's a peaceful boy. His mother trusts him to carry the ice cream, even though she knows it's his favorite of all favorites. Now, you see, right away, Peter is taking on new dimensions. And right away, we are looking at Peter differently. Now, what kind of clothes is Peter wearing? You have never thought of that, had you? Never dreamed of having clothes on him or not clothes on him. He just was there. So, is Peter wearing short pants? Is he barefoot, or does he have flip-flops, or what? Does he have a shirt? Does Peter, what's he doing? Is he naked? You know, what's he doing? And you say, well, certainly not naked. You know, he's got his swim trunks on because they're going to the beach. No, they aren't. They're going to the forest. They're going for a picnic. Okay, then he's got his short pants on, and he's got a t-shirt on. Okay, well, you see, right now, you're painting him with all sorts of things. Now, does he have a t-shirt that's got a sign on it? Does it say, I like me? Does it say, I'm the greatest? Does it say, I've got the greatest mom in the world? Does it say, dads are great? What does it say? Anything at all? Where is Peter's attitude? Now, you see, we're putting another dimension on there. We are having as complete an out-of-body journey as you could ever imagine, and we're creating it moment by moment. Now, I'm not saying to you, put a shirt on Peter. I'm saying, what kind of shirt does Peter have? I'm not saying, put pants on Peter. I'm saying, what kind of pants does he have? Does he have swim trunks, or does he have shorts, or does he have plate pants, or does he have long Levi's, or what has he got on, you know? And As you look, you see, that's what you're doing. You're looking, and you're seeing what he has. You're in that out-of-body journey. And you're in that out-of-body journey experiencing it just as beautifully as any person who takes an out-of-body journey in a very significant, important way. Now, we truly do more things with our mind. We do more things with our attitudes, with our world, than we believe we do. And we take out-of-body journeys more significantly than we wanted to. Now, I say, okay, let's go to the forest and let's have a picnic in the forest. And you, in your mind, go along, and instead you go to the beach. And you find nothing wrong with going to the beach and taking all of us to the beach with you. And so, instead of having shorts, we have swim trunks. And instead of having going to the forest, we go to the beach. And you think nothing's wrong with that, because you are in charge of your out-of-body experience. Now, the author in the book may get confused too. And the author in the book may say, yes, we have the forest on the edge of the beach. And so, here we are sitting in the forest with a lovely picnic table. Everything is so beautiful, green and lovely. And the children run away from the table to the beach, which is only about 200 yards away. And as they run in the beach, they got their feet bare, and they're running in the sand, and they're just feeling so great. It's a wonderful, glorious experience, a fantastic experience, something that they'll never forget. But, you see, you can manufacture, you can develop, you can create whatever out-of-body experience that you want, because you are the master of whatever it is that you're creating. Now, do you want to do that? Do you want to be this master? Do you want to be the one who determines whatever is right for you? Do you want to do that? You can. It's all a matter of decision of what is right for you. Constantly, we are creating our out-of-body experiences in our world, constantly. Constantly, we're populating them and peopling them with all sorts of experiences that we feel are resident within them. And as we do that, we think that's so wonderful, we think that's so exciting, we think that's so great, and we're having an out-of-body journey, whether you like it or not. That's what we are having. Now, we can have out-of-body journeys all the time, and we can go on trips all the time, and we can go down to New Zealand and visit with Katrina, and we can visit with Cynthia, and we can visit with all of their friends down there, and find such a glorious experience if we wish. We can go down there and see John Dainty. We can see all of the things that are going on in that wonderful country. We can go over to Australia and see the people that we met there, and remember the places, and go to Sydney, and go to the Opera House, and go to the place, the little restaurant near the hotel that we stayed in, and have the wonderful fish dinner that we so thoroughly enjoyed, and really dig right in and just eat it with gusto. We can travel as you wish to Taiwan and see the streets that we walked upon and meet the people we walked with and go up into the penthouse restaurant where the restaurant's circling around and enjoy looking out over the city and looking out over the community. We can go anywhere we want. We can go to Switzerland. We can go to Nigeria. We can go to France, to Germany. We can go to any country. We can go to our backyard. We can be sitting in our chair and mentally go into the backyard and see ourselves in the backyard doing things. Out-of-body journeys are merely our journeys where we leave our body behind and we go mentally wherever we want to go. You can have an out-of-body journey anytime you want. So I recommend you go and take your journey. Go and have your fun. Visit the beautiful places that turn you on. And as you visit them, watch and see just how wonderful your world really is. Have a lovely day and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.